On the boys' side of things, for us, we've got three boys' tournament matchups lined up for you tomorrow, and we are going to head to the hotline to bring in the very first guest of today's show, Joel Hammond with the Chronicle-Telegram. You ready to talk some high school hoops, my friend?
I am, Andy. How are you doing?
I'm well, my friend. Always a pleasure to speak with you. And before we get in to some of these tournament previews, got to pick your brain a bit on the article that you wrote this morning. Really outstanding stuff about a kid regarded by many as the best player in the county, and Mr. Devon Grant, and the ways teams have been trying to defend him throughout the course of the season. Joel, after reading through that article, and I mean, boy, you polled opposing players, opposing coaches. It seems like nobody can really find the answer.
Yeah, you mentioned best player in the county. I think a lot of people think he's the best player in the state, and he's committed to Miami of Ohio. It's funny, I was at Lorraine's game against Lutheran East a couple weeks ago, and there are still coaches hovering around Devon Grant. So you could see him. There's a lot of chatter about his college recruitment. Let's just put it at that. So we've written about Devon, as everyone has. Everyone's talked about him. So looking at it, how do we tackle this story from a different angle? And so as I'm watching that game, it's all right. So we know what he can do. So if I'm an opposing coach, how do I go about stopping this young man? And so asked a bunch of people about that very thing, including John Rossitano, Lorraine's coach, and Devon Grant himself after that game. They wouldn't play along, which you would probably expect them not to play along, but did talk to a bunch of other coaches in the area. And really, Andy, the problem they saw with Devon and defending him is he can do it all, right? I mean, you crowd him or you back off of him to attempt to stay in front of him on his drives into the paint, and he can pull up from anywhere, 30 feet and in and hit threes in your face all day long. You crowd him out there to take the freeway, and he's by you in the blink of an eye. So he's a tough guard, and we tried to sort out how exactly some folks have tried to stop him.
Joel, I thought it was great because you detailed this from a number of different angles. You talked to opposing coaches who have tried to draw up a game plan to stop him, and other opposing players who have drawn the assignment of covering Devon Grant throughout the course of a game. You talked to Jonah File, Coach Rob Palmer, and the like. Of all the responses that you received, who really had the most compelling answer to you?
Well, here's the challenge, Andy, and I thought the Lorraine's game against Elyria Catholic on February 12th was a perfect example of the difficulty involved in this task. So talk to Rob Palmer, Elyria EC's coach, and really, you can do a number of different things. So first of all, you make a basket or it's a dead ball situation, you try to deny Grant the ball, right? You don't let him bring it up. You get it out of his hands early, right? So then you get in the half court, and then you still deny him, and you're face guarding him, and you're trying your best not to let him get the ball. All right, fine. Let's switch sides. He's able to get the ball. Say you miss and Lorraine gets the rebound. He gets the ball, right? All right, so what do you do now? Well, Lutheran East, what EC tried to do is he comes into the front court and you trap him, right? You try to get it out of his hands as soon as possible and try to make somebody like Cam Davis, who's a really nice player but not a shooter, somebody else from Lorraine beat you. And you do all that, Andy, and then what happens? If you remember, Lorraine put up 40 on EC in the first quarter. Grant had 20, had 6 threes. He had 44 in the game. He had 10 threes. And all of a sudden, Coach Palmer from EC is kind of chuckling. We put all this effort in developing this game plan. The guy just goes off. I think Lorraine forced some turnovers in that game and got some easy looks in the first quarter. And EC, Andy, outscored Lorraine by 11 the last three quarters, but they were down 29 after one because Grant got so hot. So there's the difficulty in defending him. And, I watched, again, against that in that Lutheran East game, I watched Tavon Pierre-Lewis score 24 because they were taking Grant away. I looked down at my score sheet at one point, Andy. Grant had taken only like 6 shots in the second quarter, and then he gets going. So it's just it's a tough task. And, again, he has the supporting cast. Pierre-Lewis scored 32 in 3 straight games, which I know you and I have talked about a number of times. So he's got the supporting cast, too, to make it super difficult on opponents.
Well, of course, Grant and company will be taking center stage in the Division I Elyria Catholic District. They await the winner of Midview and Berea Midpark. The Middies and Titans will play on Wednesday at 7. The winner takes on Lorraine on Saturday at 7 o'clock. That's a pretty interesting district, but I mean, really, it's tough, with all due respect to the other teams in that particular district, to see anyone taking down the Titans. So, I mean, looking outside the scope of Lorraine, what are some other interesting matchups in that bracket, and who are some of the interesting teams that might have a chance against Lorraine?
Yeah, you know, Coach Ross Tanner mentioned to me that, you know, he really respects what Olmsted Falls does each year. And you know, the Bulldogs won the Southwestern Conference this year after going 17-1 in the league last year to tie Lakewood. You know, Lakewood moved into this district this year. They're the 3 seed, and they've got some size and some athleticism, but it would be a shock if someone other than Lorain won the district. You know, you guys mentioned to me you have Elyria and Strongsville on Wednesday on WEOL. That'll be a good matchup. Elyria beat the Mustangs twice, but Strongsville played them relatively toughly. Strongsville went winless in the Greater Clinton Conference, and Elyria, I think, won 2 games, and they were both against Strongsville. So that'll be a good matchup in the first round, and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, Strongsville, again, if you remember last year, Elyria played them in the first round, and Strongsville beat them by 19. So Elyria will probably have that on their minds on Wednesday.
Yeah, and it's interesting, just because last year Strongsville kind of came out of nowhere. And, I mean, they didn't just beat Elyria. They beat Avon before they beat Elyria. And, boy, as good as Lorain was last year, they put up a little bit of a fight against Lorain as well. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if things change at all with Strongsville this year against Elyria in that first-round matchup. We'll move on to a few other districts here because you did a great job of detailing all of them here. I want to focus for a second on the Mansfield-Madison district. You know, locally here, people are interested to see what Vermilion brings to the table. For many, many weeks there, Joel, Vermilion was number 2 in your top 5 for all the obvious reasons. They played extraordinarily well. And, you know, you talk about how having not played in a few days may actually help them a little bit. The last time they played, they lost to Clearview. But you mentioned that could certainly help those guys out a little bit. They're not expected to play again until Friday. So how far do you think the Sailors can go?
Well, they have a tough road. I mean, this district, like the North Ridgeville Division II District, Andy, is stacked. I mean, these guys, you know, Norwalk, they won a state Division II title in 2014. They're the one seed. Lexington, Lexington, I think, went to the state Final Four last year, maybe, or won was a regional team last year. They're 2. Vermilion's 3. So we talked about this before. Vermilion's best hope is that Lexington choosing the other half of the bracket as a 2 seed to go against Norwalk before Vermilion will help Vermilion. Now, Vermilion likely will play Sandusky sectional final, excuse me, to get to the district. So they've got a tough road. I've got 5 teams in this district who have won 17 games or more. That's Norwalk, Lexington, Vermilion, Mansfield Senior, and Clear Fork. So it's a really tough district. Norwalk and Lexington played earlier in the year. Norwalk beat them by 1. And those two teams, Norwalk has won 17 of 18. I'm just going through my notes here. I mean, the district is stacked. Lexington has Kate Stover, who was Ohio's Mr. Football in Division II. He's headed to Ohio State on the football scholarship. He broke Lexington's school scoring record this year, averages nearly a double-double, 6'5", 230. I mean, this district is stacked. Vermilion will have a tough go. Now, like you said, Andy, they've been off since February 19th. They won't play in 10 days. Maybe that'll help them. They lost through the last 4, so I think they're hoping that having that time off will help them recharge a bit.
Joel Hammond with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, breaking down some high school hoops and talking about all the great tournament matchups coming your way the next couple of weeks here and hopefully beyond. You had alluded to the North Ridgeville District and just how loaded it is. Cleveland Central Catholic, the top seed, Holy Name, the 2 seed, Bay, the 3 seed. And, boy, what's interesting about this, Joel, is Clearview is a team that, you know, we've kind of covered throughout the course of the season. They were consistently in your top 5. And in this particular district, they're the 7 seed. And I think that tells you all you need to know about the strength of this particular district.
Yeah, I mean, it's loaded. I mean, Cleveland Central Catholic dropped down from Division I. They have beaten St. Ignatius, Cleveland Heights, VASJ, and Garfield Heights to show you exactly what they're capable of. They've lost by 7 or fewer to Akron Hogan, St. Ed's, Toledo St. John, and Benedictine. The Ironmen are a well-deserved top seed. You know, Bay was a regional finalist a year ago. Holy Name scores 82 points a game, Andy. Fairview just won its first conference title in 57 years. They've scored over 103 times. So, you know, you look at Clearview being a 7 seed, and it's surprising, but, you know, it's just stacked. Then you've got Rocky River, and you've got Buckeye, and they will need some things to go their way to make some noise. They open tomorrow night, right, with Padua at home. So they've got a tough road to go, and it's a It's a really tough district. You know, Keystone plays Cloverleaf with the chance, well, I don't know if chance is the right word, but to play Cleveland Central Catholic in the sectional final. So this is going to be a really tough district for those two county teams.
It absolutely will, and we're kind of running out of time here, but, you know, there are some other things we would like to hit on, and, you know, there are a couple of other districts I'd certainly like to get into at some point. The Garfield Heights District, which, of course, has Elyria Catholic, they've got a bye. They won't play until Friday, waiting on the winner of Crestwood and Brooklyn, and, of course, that's another loaded district with Lutheran East as the top seed, Warrensville Heights as the two seed. Then you move down into Division Four and the Norton District, a couple of teams locally that could certainly make a heck of a lot of noise. Chances are those two teams, Columbia and Open Door, are probably going to face each other on March 5th. Richmond Heights is the top seed in that district. I've actually got the call on Friday at 7 o'clock as Columbia awaits the winner of Dalton and Independence. Open Door playing on Friday at 7 o'clock as well. They are awaiting the winner of Kidron Central Christian and Lake Central Christian as well. So, I mean, a lot to dive into, my friend. We're out of time for today. But maybe we'll line you up for Friday if you've got some time to talk about Division III and Division IV, because, again, there's so much to digest here. And I think to go further, we'll probably have a better idea as to who's going to play who when we get to Friday as well. That sound good?
That sounds good, Andy. And for your listeners, make sure you check out today's Chronicle for all this this info that we had in there in the Devon Grand story.
Yeah, it's all in there for sure. Joel, we appreciate the time as always, my friend, and we look forward to speaking with you again soon to help break down some matchups as these tournaments continue to take shape.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
Thank you, Joel, again. Joel Hammer with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us. As Joel mentioned, you can catch all of these scouting reports, Division 1 through 4. Joel's got them all lined up, plus that story on Devon Grant as well. Make sure you pick up a copy of today's Chronicle-Telegram.